Joey, I actually knew that you were going to be asked when we were on the airplane on the way back. But I knew if I said anything then, you'd be all freaked out between now and then. So we just made you freak out part just a little plate, okay, buddy? How exciting it is to be with the people of God when God shows up and works and moves in the hearts and the lives of His people. And I'm hoping and praying that that's what God's going to do in our midst today. You know what makes something holy? The touch of God's what makes it holy. The land over there is holy because God touched it. Moses was out there in the desert on the backside of the mountain, and God said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. You know what made that ground holy? Is God touched it. God wants to touch you today. God wants to touch this place today. God wants us to experience a holy God in an amazing way this morning. If you have your outline there, you have the scripture already looked up, I'm going to ask you to please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. We have several readings today. The first one is from Psalms 29 and verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And then in Romans chapter 12, therefore I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and perfect will. And then the Apostle Peter, chapter 1, verse 13, therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it will not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that you might reveal yourself to us today as the holy, holy, holy Lord God, Almighty of the universe. And Lord, may we in turn submit our lives to you. Speak to us now, God, through your word, for we make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the attributes of God. We have seen that God is almighty, nothing that God can't do. We have seen that God is all-knowing. There's nothing that God doesn't know. We've seen that God is omnipresent, that God is everywhere. We've seen that God is immutable, that is, God never changes. But I've saved this part, and that is the part that God is a holy God until this day. I wanted 53 people to come back from a place we call the Holy Land to think about a holy God that calls us to holy living. Now, what do we mean by the word holy? The word holy means to be set apart. It means to be set apart for a different use. It means it's unique. It is special. For example, the Greek word Biblos is where we get our word Bible. This right here is the Holy Bible. That is, it is a holy book. It is set apart. This book is different than any and every other book. God is a holy God. There is no one like God. He is set apart. He is different. He is unique. His holiness also means that He is without blemish. He is without error. God never makes a mistake. Some of you right now may be in a very difficult spot in your life, and you're asking the question, God, why is this happening to me? Well, because He is a holy God, we have comfort in knowing today that God hasn't made a mistake. No matter what you're going through, He always does what's right. He always does the right thing because He is a holy, holy, holy God. Now, one of the unique things about going to the Holy Land is as you come away and you're at certain places and you realize the ground that you're standing on is holy. Why is that? God has touched it. This rock that you're there, that rock is holy. Why is that? Because He shed His blood on that very rock. You go to a garden where there are 8 trees, 3,000 years old, and you know that Jesus prayed right there in the midst of those trees. They got holy trees. Why? Because God had touched it. Now, folks, do you understand that that means if God touches you, that means you're a holy people. We worship and serve a holy God, and we honor Him with holy living. Now, when I was a child, we weren't as fortunate as I am today in the way of material things. And I remember every year when school would start, we would go and we would buy 5 new outfits for us to go to school, one for each day. And I can remember going to school, and when we get home from school and we want to go outside to play, the first thing Mama would say says, now you take off them school clothes and you hang them up. You are not to play in those clothes. You put on your play clothes. We weren't to go out there and get dirty. We weren't going to play ball. They were different. And God says, you are holy if you have trusted Him. God says you're to be different. You're to live different than this world. Why is that? Because God is holy and you are holy. And so this morning I'd like for us to just pause and think about, number one, understand the problem of sin. You know what sin is? It's unholy living. That's what sin is. Notice here the universal nature of sin. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we talk about unholy living, every one of us knows what that is because we're all guilty of it. I find it amazing that the Zogby people, who does all of these political polls, did a survey of millennials, the younger adults and teenagers today, and asked them, what would you like to be remembered for? What would you like to be known for? And the number one answer, over 50% of millennials said, I would like to be known as a person of integrity. Wow. I don't think anybody expected that. What is a person of integrity? You do what you say you're going to do. You walk and you talk, match up. Well, friend, there's a word for that in the Word of God, and it's called holy. Be ye holy because God is holy. I also want you to understand that we have a tendency to excuse our sin. That is, we make excuses for it. In John 15:22. Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. So is there any unholy things in your life? Are there any unholy magazines in your house? Are there any unholy things on your computer? Are there any unholy words on your lips? Jesus said there is no excuse. You can blame it on this and that, and you can make up any kind of excuse for not living a holy life. But God says there is absolutely no excuse. And I'm reminded of a little girl who had a messy desk. Any of you got a messy desk? I resemble that remark. I mean, I got stuff everywhere. And the school board announced they were going to have a school inspection, a surprise school inspection. And so this little girl was talking with her friend, said, well, they're going to have an inspection. Said, I'm going to clean up my desk before they come. And they said, well, when are you going to clean it up? She said, I think I'll do it tomorrow. And her friend said, what are you going to do if they come today? Oh, well, if they're going to come today, I'm going to do it tomorrow afternoon. Well, if they're going to... What if they come in the morning and says, well, you know what? I think I'll clean it up right now and I'll just keep it clean. Well, what if that was our attitude about life? You know what? There is a holy God. He's coming back. I'm going to give an account for Him. And so why don't I just start living a holy life right now and live it from now on out instead of making excuses for being like everybody else? Let me ask you something. Do you really want to be like everybody else? Or would you like to be the special treasure of God that He calls you to be? I am holy, be ye holy. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about ladies can't wear makeup. I'm not talking about you have to have one of them beehive hairdos. We're not talking about how you dress. We're talking about how you live. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And then next, understand that there is a penalty for sin. When you choose to sin, there's a price that has to be paid. And you're going to pay one or two of these prices. You don't want to pay either one, but you certainly don't want to pay the first one. And that is, I will suffer eternity in hell. Mark 9:47. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell. Now, folks, those are the very words of Jesus Christ. Jesus had a lot to say about hell. You understand there's a real, literal burning hell and real people are going to spend eternity there? That is why Jesus came. He came to save us from such a place. But there is a cost with our sins. If we do not trust Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the cost for sin is eternity separated from God. Now, I know it's not popular today, but it's true. I'm convinced that many of you have already made a commitment in your heart to trust Jesus Christ. What that means is your sin has already been judged at Calvary's cross. But I want you to know there is still a cost to sin today. I know a lot of folks who think that grace is a license to sin. All I have to do is ask God to forgive me. I'm so glad that when we repent of our sin and seek God's favor, that God shows love and grace and forgiveness. But friend, there is still a cost associated with sin. Even for God's children. Notice here, Hebrews 12:8. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, that is if you're saved, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. See, there's a cost for sin. If you're a lost person, the cost is hell. If you're a saved person, the cost is God is going to discipline you. Now listen, I love my children, but there was times that I had to discipline them. And I remember when our firstborn, Nathan, was real small and he was messing up. And I said, now son, you know what? If you cross the line, you're going to get a spanking. And my dad was there and he looked at me and he said, son, I know you've got to spank him. I know you got to discipline him. I just got one request. And I said, what's that, Dad? He said, just don't do it while I'm around. But you see, every parent that loves their child will discipline them if they need it. And so when you and I choose unholy living, guess what? If you're a child of God, discipline is coming. It's coming. And if you can sin and live an unholy lifestyle and not experience the discipline of God, the Bible says there's only one reason for that. You're not His child. Listen, I've been in Walmart many a time standing in line and some kid having a fit, and I love to go over and snatch them up and give them an attitude adjustment. But I didn't. You want me to tell you why? They were not my child. And God's going to discipline you. Now listen, young people, are you listening? This was worth coming to church for today. When I was a child, I didn't get this figured out. But when I would mess up, my daddy would take a hold of me. He'd grab my arm right there and hit like a vice grip. And it didn't matter how hard I tried to get away, I couldn't get away. And he'd grab a hold of that with one hand, grab his hand on the other, and flip that belt off just like that. I mean, he was a ninja when it come to that kind of stuff, okay? It was amazing how fast it was, okay? And he'd take that thing out and he'd say something stupid like, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And he'd take that thing and he'd rear back. And I mean, you know, the laws of physics were in effect. Because you see, I was running. I was trying to get as far away as I could. What I didn't understand, are you listening, kids? The further away I got away from him, the worse it was. You see, the farther he went, the farther the swing come around before it caught me. You see, if I'd have been smart, you want me to tell you what I'd have done? I'd have got up as close to him as I could, because you see, you can't really swing it when they got close to him. And I'd have put my arms around his leg, and I'd have said, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. Did you know the same thing is true in life? If you're a child of God and there's unholy living in your life and you try to get away from God, God's got a hold on you. You can't get away from God's grasp. And the farther you try to get away from God, the worse the discipline's going to be. Just get as close to God as you can and say, I love you, Father. I love you, Father. And fall on the mercies of God. But discipline will come if you're a child of God and you're not living a holy life. And then understand the provision. God's made a provision for our sin. In Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son. And you're to give him the name Jesus, the sweetest name I know. Because he will save his people from their sins. In the passage we just read, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Folks, we don't have a sacrificial temple. We don't have a place where lambs are come and sacrificed. But when you go over there to the Holy Land and you go up there on that Temple Mount and you realize on the day of Passover they sacrificed 25,000 lambs and the blood goes flowing down off of that altar, and then they'll bring in the water there and they'll wash off of the altar and the blood and the water mingles together and it runs down that hill, and you realize that 2,000 years ago when they pierced Jesus' side, blood and water came pouring down that hill, and He is our sacrificial lamb. And when you and I choose to live a sinful life, we are dishonoring the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. A.J. Gordon likes to tell the story about a little boy that had been out in a field, and he'd set a bird trap out and he caught some little sparrows. He had them in an old rusty cage, and he was carrying them, and he ran into A.J. Gordon, and A.J. said to him, says, what are you going to do with them birds? He says, I don't know. I'll play with them a while, and when I get done, I'll just kill them. And A.J. looked at him. He said, son, would you sell me those birds? He said, well, mister, you don't understand. These are just old sparrows. They're just old field birds. They don't have any value whatsoever. And he said, son, I'll give you $20. He said, $20, I'll give you the cage and all. And so he gave them to him. And he said, mister, what do you want with those birds anyhow? And he said, you just watch me and I'm going to show you. And he walked out there in that field and he opened up that cage and he let them all free. We see, they were free because that man paid a price. You and I are free because Jesus Christ paid a price. But folks, he didn't pay it with money. He paid it with his life. He paid it with his blood. Be ye holy. Because God is holy. And so not only do we understand the problem of sin, it's unholy living, but today I want to challenge you to decide to live a holy life. You see, when you invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life, the Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence in your soul. He becomes your interior decorator. I got a friend of mine, and recently he bought a lake home. And I'm telling you, I'd been in this lake home several times before. It's absolutely beautiful. I could have moved in it and spent the rest of my life and never done a thing to it. But my friend and his wife, they went in there, they pulled up the carpet, they pulled up the tile, they tore out all the cabinets, and they redid all of it to do what? To match up the people that's going to live there. Do you understand when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and life, He's an interior decorator. He's going to tear some things out. He's going to put some things in. He's going to make you a holy person. The Holy Spirit is. Let me give you several reasons why you should be holy. Number one, you will not be able to see God if you're not living a holy life. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Did you know you can come to a place like this today where we have wonderful facilities, have great music, a preaching of God's Word, and you can leave this place and not experience the presence of God. And you can go out and you can criticize the people that were on the stage. But here's the truth of the matter. If you come today and you leave without being in the presence of God, there's nobody's fault but yours. Without holiness, no one will see God. And you see, if there's willful, continual, habitual sin in your life, God's presence will not be made manifest to you. Without holiness, no one will see God. Psalms 24, verse 3 says, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Joy made reference to what they call the Wailing Wall. And when you go down there to the Wailing Wall, they have a fountain so that you can wash your hands. You got to wash your hands and wash your face before you go down there to pray. But folks, when the Bible says you got to have clean hands, it's not talking about germs. It's not talking about dirt. It's talking about sin. If you want to come into the presence of God, sinful people who have habitual, willful, unconfessed, unrepented sin in their life cannot come into the presence of a holy God. I don't know any man in our generation that has represented God any better than Billy Graham. Billy Graham was in a meeting in Dallas, Texas with other pastors, and they were sharing with each other and having a time of prayer. And here's what Billy Graham said in that meeting. He said, I long to be holy. He said, I long to be a holy man. Will each of you pray that I will be a holy person? Now, what if that was the desire of every person in here? If we said, oh God, I long to be a holy person. What might God be able to do in your life, in the life of this church, if we had that kind of a prayer and attitude in our lives? And then secondly, we should be holy because you've been commanded to do so by God. In 1 Peter 1:15, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I want you to think about the attributes of God that we've looked at. Immutable. Does God say to you, never change? He doesn't. God is all-powerful. Does God command you to be all-powerful? No, He doesn't. God is all-knowing. Does He command you to know everything? He does not. But He is a holy God, and He commands you to be a holy person. The only one of the attributes that I find that we've covered so far where God commands you to be holy. Now look at me. Let me tell you what I hear all the time. And it's a lie straight from hell. Well, I'm just a human being and I can't help it. I'm just a human being. I can't help it. I sin. Well, you know, I'm just a sinner. Folks, you can be a holy person if you submit to God and allow God to work in and through your life. Several years ago, the United States Treasury issued a Susan B. Anthony dollar. Any of y'all remember those?
They only lasted 3 years. They quit making them. Let me tell you why. People didn't like them. People didn't accept them. Let me tell you why they didn't like them, accept them. People said it looked too much like a quarter. And if something's a dollar, it ought to look like a dollar and not look like a quarter. If you're a child of God, you ought to look like a child of God, talk like a child of God, and act like a child of God. And if you live just like the world will have no use for you. And say, oh, well, I'm just human. I'm just a sinner. Now think about that. 35 years ago, I walked down an aisle of a church. And when I walked down that aisle, and I waited on my bride to come, and she came down, and I said, I will and I do. You want me to tell you what I did? I made a pledge. I made a promise to that woman that I would be faithful and true to her so long as we both shall live. Now, ladies, what would happen if I'd come home every day and say, oh, well, I hadn't been faithful and true. I know I promised it, but I'm just a man. And, you know, that's how us men are. It wouldn't work, would it? It wouldn't work. And God is my witness. I've kept that promise for 35 years. And if I can keep that promise to my wife for 35 years, then I can keep that promise to God. For as long as I shall live. He commanded us to be holy. And then number three, being holy honors God the Father. In verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. You see, when we live a holy life, it honors a holy God. When you live an unholy life, it dishonors a holy God. I'm reminded where this foreign army came in and conquered this nation and killed a king and a queen. They had an only son. He was about 11 or 12 years old. And the commander says, here, and he turned this child over to this evil, wicked woman and says, we want to make him as vile can be. And she was a vile person with a vile tongue. And she cursed him and was mean and sinful and wicked as could be. And every day she would try her best to break him down. And finally one day he just looked at her and said, you can curse me, you can beat me, you can kill me, but I will never ever be like you because my father is a king and I am a prince and I will never be like you. Friend, it's time for the church, the people of God, to stand up and say to this world, my father is a king, and I'm a prince, I'm a princess, and I'm not going to walk like you, and talk like you, and dress like you, and act like you, because it does not honor my father. And then number four, failure to live a holy life degrades Jesus' sacrifice. Hebrews 10:29. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? You understand when I willfully choose to do something that doesn't honor God, that I dishonor the shed blood of Jesus Christ? What if we had some of Jesus' blood preserved when he was crucified, and you would come up here and just pour it out on the ground and trample on it with your feet? Well, when you and I choose to live a life that doesn't honor God, that's exactly what we were doing. We were over there in the Holy Land, and I'm telling you, it was our last day. We'd had several just outstanding experiences with God. And we had been to Calvary, and then we went to the empty tomb. And then in a place in a garden, we came over, and we had a service. And the service concluded with the Lord's Supper. I'm telling you, it was just a phenomenal time. But as we were observing the Lord's Supper, there were two young girls. And my guess is that they were Muslim because of their headscarves and the way they were dressed. And I'm up there and I'm fixing to do the Lord's Supper, and they come walking right through our area. And I'm thinking, what are they going to do? What is their motive for even being here? Well, they just walked on by. But those of you that were there, I want to ask you something. If those two girls would have come up there and they would have taken the bread and they would have thrown it down on the ground, if they would have dumped the cups down on the ground and they would have stomped on it and kicked dirt on it, what would that have done to you, huh? Would that make you rise up and want to hurt somebody? Would you understand that that juice and that bread only represents the body of Jesus Christ? And when you and I willfully choose to sin, we are trampling under feet the blood and the body of Jesus Christ and dishonoring His sacrifice. Be ye holy as the Lord God is holy. And then lastly, there's some action steps that we can take that will help us to be holy people. Number one, I will ingest the Word of God. In Psalm 119:11, I have banked your promises in the vault of my heart so I won't send myself bankrupt. Boy, isn't that picturesque? What does he say? He's saying, I have hid God's Word in my heart that I may not sin against God. And so, folks, how can you live a holy life? Read your Bible, study your Bible, memorize your Bible, study God's Word. He said, I've hid it in my heart that I will not sin against God. Several years ago, I ran into a teenage boy on a date in a restaurant. And he come walking in with his Bible. Now, you know just how strange that is, right? A teenager walking around with a Bible in a restaurant. Had a pretty girl with him. And so I went over and I asked him, I said, I noticed you got your Bible with you. I said, that's interesting. He said, why are you carrying it with me? He said, every time I go on a date with my girlfriend, he said, I always take my Bible and I put the Bible between me and her. Yeah. Every parent just decided they was going to buy an extra Bible for the car. But here's what he was saying. He said, you know what? It's hard for me to have impure thoughts. It's hard for me to do impure things when the Word of God is in between me and her. Well, you see, the Bible says, hide God's Word in your heart so that you will not sin against Him. And then secondly, I will seek support of other believers. If you want to live a holy life, you've got to have other people around you that's going to support you, love you, encourage you. Ecclesiastes 4 says it this way. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Folks, I need the church. I need you in my life. I need people praying for me and encouraging me. You know what? I need somebody to pat me on the back when I've done a good job. I need somebody to kick me in the seat of the pants when I've come up short of what God would have. We need each other. It's what the Bible says. If we don't, we're just liable to do the same mistakes over and over and over again. Poor couple, lived out in the country, didn't have much. Went into the county fair. They took all the money that they had. And they bought some little doodads and some trinkets and odds and ends. And they're getting ready to leave. And the old man's got a dollar left. He's got $1. And there's the merry-go-round. And he says to his wife, he says, I think I'm going to go spend my last dollar on the merry-go-round. And he said, don't you do it. Don't you do it. It ain't worth it. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. Well, he didn't listen. And he went over there, gave his last dollar, got on that merry-go-round. When he got off, his wife looked at him and says, now look at you. You done went and spent all your money. All you did was go round and round and round, and you got off the same place you got on, and you ain't went nowhere. You know what? Sometimes we need a brother or a sister in Christ that just come alongside of us and say, you're going around in circles, and you're not going anywhere. You see, if you're going to live a holy life, you've got to do it in community. Jesus had 12, and then He had the 70, and then He had the 120. We need each other to live a holy life. And then number three, I will keep my focus on Christ. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. We got to keep our focus on Jesus instead of on our problems. When I was over there in the Holy Land, one of the men came up to me and we got to sharing and I got to telling him some difficulties and some struggles that I'd been through lately. And he looked at me and said, Pastor, I want you to know how glad I am you shared that with me. He said, I know when people come up, you say, you're blessed, you're blessed. He said, but I'm glad to know that you got these struggles so that I can pray for them. Listen, folks, I don't go around and parade all my problems. I don't parade all my struggles because, see, my focus is not on my problems. My focus is on my solution, and my solution is Jesus Christ. If you have your eyes on your problem, you're going to be beat down all the time. Keep your focus on Jesus if you want to live a holy life. And by the way, I tell Jesus all my troubles because He can do something about them. And then the last thing I want to share with you is, I will prepare my mind. If you want to live a holy life, you've got to prepare your mind. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What you'll notice when you go back to the Holy Land is those who have a certain kind of faith, the men wear long robes. Our soldiers call them man dresses. But they're a robe. But Jesus would have wore a robe. The disciples had a robe. And when it says, gird up your loins, what that means is you reach down here and you grab the hem of the back of your robe and you pull it up and you tuck it in your belt and you make a pair of Bermuda shorts out of that robe so that you won't be hindered. I want you to think about that tree, that sycamore tree where we saw that Zacchaeus grew up. Can you imagine trying to climb a tree with a robe on? What did he do? He had to gird up his loins. He had to reach down there, pull it up, tuck it in. And so what God is saying, those things that hinder us and hold us back, we got to get rid of those things. We got to prepare our minds if we're going to live holy lives. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. God is a holy God. And He's made a way for sinful people to come into His presence. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But once you come into the presence of Jesus Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior, He says to you, He commands you, be holy as I am holy. I'm wondering who would step out of their seat today and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm wondering who would slip out of their seat and come to this altar and say, God, I'm saved, but I hadn't been living a holy life. I'm like that Susan B. Anthony dollar. I look and act like everybody else. But I want people to look at me and see God. I want people to look at me and see Jesus. Billy Graham says, I long to be a holy man. Pray for me that I'd be a holy man. I wonder who would get up out of their seat and come to this altar and say, God, I want to be a holy woman. God, I want to be a holy man. God, I want to be a holy teenager. I want to honor and glorify You by how I live. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have a time of decision and commitment, Lord, may we respond to Your word. May we respond to the